Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to church this morning. My name is Sabrina Trebia, and I serve as a member of the Caring Ministries. My family and I have been members of this church since last October. In the pulpit this morning, we have our longtime member, Dr. Ron Glossop. You're invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in or for a picnic behind these doors in a worker room, but also outside. If you're a newcomer here this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and hope that if this is your first time to visit, you'll consider entering your name on one of the visitor cards that can be found in the back of your hymnal and placing the card in the offering plate or handing it to an usher. If you'll do that, we'll send you a church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about all the programs and activities going on here at the church. If you would like to learn more about the church and about Unitarian Universalism, please visit the information displays in our fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you're certainly welcome to take home with you. And now I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know yet. Okay, good. I like it when people say hi to each other. I'm not going to shut them off. I draw your attention to the announcements in your order of service. We hope you'll keep these things in mind as you plan your upcoming week. Announcements.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Linda Van Zandt. Today we're having our annual picnic or semi-annual, I don't know, whatever, end of the year picnic. And there's going to be hot dogs and soda. And then hopefully everybody brought something, but if you didn't, don't worry, there's always a lot of food. So we ask that you donate a dollar a hot dog, a dollar a soda, a dollar a bottle of water. You get the idea. At maximum $10 per family. So hot dogs available after the service. Everybody please stay. We're going to have lots of food, and we're going to be indoors. Yeah.
Morning, I'm Paula Tarbell. I have to sneak in a joy because I don't want to get up twice. But my daughter graduated from high school this week. The second thing is I've changed my name back to my maiden name, which is Paula Moore. And the third thing is we're getting a group together to go to the Muni. Lily is going to be in Thoroughly Modern Millie. And if we get at least 20 people, we get 20% off. And they also will do a backstage tour. So if anybody's interested in hopping in on that, just let me know, and I'm going to be here today after church. Thanks. Oh, thank you. It's June 18th through the 24th, and I'm not sure exactly which day we're going to go, but we're figuring that out really soon. So, and the single tickets go on sale June 2nd, so that's coming up.
Hi, I'm Robin. I want to say thanks to everybody who was involved. I know the 55 Plus did the fourth Saturday lunch yesterday. It was awesome, great turnout. One of the things that I wanted to bring up was there was a lot of demand for clothes, and particularly for shoes, men's shoes. There were a lot of people that came up and said, we need size 11 or size, and we didn't have anything that big really. So if, gentlemen, if you have any extras that you're trying to get rid of, please make sure you bring them in. You know, anything that we can have is good. And while I'm up here so I don't have to take another trip, I did finally get my tenure letter about a week ago, so.
Good morning, I'm Kelly Crone Willis. How many people are coming to Camp Fest next weekend? How many people don't know about it? Okay, so next Friday, we're having Camp Fest out at Pier Marquette, and it's in the back at one of the group camps. I forget exactly which group camp name it is. It's at Piasaw, and which is not the all way in the back, it's the next to the last group camp. If you've never been there before, they've got cabins, mess hall, we have our own pool, and we're there Friday through Tuesday. So you're welcome to come any or all of the days, spend the night, and just we'll have a good time. All food's provided, just bring your drinks.
Talk to us if you
want to
come.
Oh. I was getting help from the back. Yeah, just let Juliet or I know if you need more information.
I'm Lee, and I just want to thank our loving church family for all of the support and prayers that you have given Shara and I and our family.
And thank you so much. It was felt, the energy was there, and we were very grateful.
Good morning. Welcome to this special place. I'm Stephen Mee, Director of Religious Education. Inside the worker room, as you're having picnic food, do stop by the teaching easel and sign up for summer. You just have to show up. There's no preparation. Just sign up for one Sunday. And those of you who would like to make a longer commitment, the fall sign-up sheets are there as well. And even if you're a teacher now, unless your name goes up there, I'm assuming you're not teaching until you write it down or tell me. So thank you and give it some of your consideration.
I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any joys, milestones, or concerns you may bring with you to church this morning.
Hi, Jennifer Lewis. I have a joy. As some of you know, my cousin's grandbaby in utero was, they found out that she has spina bifida. The mommy underwent a surgery that was supposed to take 8 hours, took 3 hours. It went great. They obviously don't know exactly how successful it is, but they think it looks wonderful. So they think she's going to be able to walk and have no neurological problems. So very happy about that. Also, I ask you to keep my son Alex in your thoughts and prayers. For some reason, this May has just been terrible for him. He has had pneumonia. He has had hand, foot, and mouth virus. And now this morning he woke up after just finishing a round of antibiotics with a terrible severe cough and just snotty and awful. So, healing energy to Alex, if you would. Thank you.
My mom's friend, Roxanne, she finally came and dropped me for it.
Hi, I'm Tony. I dislike public speaking, so I'll keep this short and sweet. Me and my wife will be continuing to celebrate our 9th wedding anniversary this week. So thank you. But I do want to take a quick second to thank her, because I would say 10 years ago when we got engaged, I remember telling somebody that she had blown my dreams out of the water, just exceeded every dream that I had. So. And I would say day after day after day, that lady continues to just amaze me as a wife, as a mom, as a friend, as a human being. So I want to thank her for letting me walk this road of life with her and for teaching me the lesson to keep your eyes open, because reality really can, is, and will continue to exceed your wildest dreams. So. Thank you, baby, and happy anniversary.
Hi, I just wanted to briefly share. About a month ago, had a concern that I'd lost touch with a new friend and was concerned about him, and we have gotten back in touch with our friend Dan, and so he had some medical emergency, and he's going to be fine. Thank you.
Two things. I definitely can't follow that, but my wife and I are celebrating 8 years and this week. And then Marty and Eric Johnson are celebrating 17 years as well. So keep Meredith Johnson, in your prayers, some complications, upper respiratory pneumonia maybe, kind of thing, so they're out today. And secondly, another joy is that, as well as Ken, Ryan, and Kleber, and myself, and a couple other people, we've made a new audio purchase. So the audio system is going to be upgraded within the bounds of the capital campaign. And the computer is back from repair, and the RE will be getting new computer rolling carts, and Stephen will also be getting a new computer, and that kind of stuff. So lots of cool techie stuff going on. So
I'm Kleber Van Zandt, minister of this church, and thank you for reminding me that Linda and I have been married for some 82 years now. And I will not even try to top it, but we do have an anniversary this week, do we not? Tuesday?
18.
Oh, 18, right, 18. Yes. Far more serious notes. Dick Blanton, some of you may know, Dick has been in the hospital this week, was expected to get out, but is not doing as well as he might otherwise be doing. He's got pneumonia and other things. If you're somebody who wants to go see Dick, he would appreciate visitors, and certainly cards are always welcome. He's at Alton Memorial still, as I understand, unless anybody else knows differently. Sharon Johnson's stepdad passed away this week, and so I'd like to keep Sharon and Sayer and all of their families in our thoughts and prayers. Landis Kasner was a kid who grew up in this church. His parents, Denise Maxwell and Mike Kasner, were leaders in this church for a long, long time. Lots of people who taught RE back in the 80s and 90s remember Landis very fondly, or at least remember him. Really smart guy, really challenging person, apparently. Landis died this week. He's 24 years old. We are going to have a memorial service for him on June 11th. That's a Monday night, June 11th. We don't know the time yet, but if you're somebody who works with Anna Dees or the caring team to provide food, think about that. And otherwise, if you knew Landis, please come join us to remember him.
The prelude begins our worship service as Ben lights our chalice. Yes. Thank you. This is the mission of our faith, to teach the fragile art of hospitality, to revere both the critical mind and the generous heart, to prove that diversity need not mean divisiveness, and to witness to all that we must hold the whole world in our hands. Let us worship together. Our first hymn is number 318, We Would Be One. And I don't know where it is. Yeah, please rise as you're able. Thank you. Join in responsive reading number 662 found in the back of your hymnal. It is entitled Strange and Foolish Walls, and it's from A. Powell Davies. The years of all of us are short, our lives precarious.
Our days and nights go hurrying on, and there is scarcely time to do the little that we might.
Yet we find time for bitterness, for petty treason and evasion.
What can we do to stretch our hearts enough to lose their littleness?
Here we are, all of us, all upon this planet, bound together in a common destiny.
Living our lives between the briefness of the daylight and the dark.
Kindred in this, each lighted by the same precarious flickering flame of life, how does it happen that we are not kindred in all things else?
How strange.
Songs of faith and hope arise. Let me
have been greatly blessed, let us now give generously so that others might be blessed by the work of the church. This morning's offering will be now given and received.
Morning. This is one of my favorite Sundays, Teacher Appreciation Sunday. I'm going to have the kids help, so I'm going to make this up as I go along. Kids, why don't you come on down, those that you want to. Sit over there. You're going to help pass out candles, okay? And those of you who are visitors, you can join us up here too if you'd like. With me is Tracy Howe Koch, our chairman of the Religious Education Committee. I'm going to read the list of names of those who have helped teach our kids this year. It's a long one. As you hear your name call, I invite you to come up and to the front of the sanctuary. I'm going to stand you over here onto my left. We've had over 30 teachers help out teaching this year. We've had over 80 kids that we serve, and roughly about 45 every Sunday. Allison Reichelt, Amanda Grippy, Amelia McCarthy, Amy McMurray, Bailey Bruner, Kathy Tade, Cheryl Tucker-Lowy, Debbie Lovell, Donald Ingram, Eric Johnson, Aaron Dimmick, Eva Merrill, Jennifer Herndon, Juliet Crone Willis, Catherine Chapman, Kelly Crone Willis, Leah Bailey, Linda Van Zant, Lou Bailey, Mark Tade, Marty Johnson, Mary Johnson, Mary Weber, Matt Koch, Melody Hardman, Michelle Hudson, Neil Hershey, Paula Tarbell, Peg Flatt, Rachel Lappin, Sayer Johnson, Suganya Donamit, Tony Grippy, Tracy, and Trish Botsko. Have I missed anyone? I think I got everyone. Nope.
Our mission is to provide children and youth a framework within which they may learn to ask questions and seek answers. Instead of always providing answers, we take our task to be that of providing concepts and resources that will help our young people seek their own answers throughout their lifetimes. Our job is not to tell them what to think, but rather to help them learn how to think and how to develop their own gift of faith. At the front of the sanctuary are the people to whom this congregation has entrusted its most precious resources, its children and youth.
All the adults standing before you volunteered at some time during this past year to teach or substitute teach in our religious education classrooms. These are the people who have created a loving and supportive environment and helped our children explore their values and find their unique voices. These are the people who have inspired our youth to lead lives of love and service, justice and compassion. These are the people who have done the holy work of escorting our young people on the first steps of their spiritual journeys and towards growing their souls.
Okay, I think I'd like Honor and Brianna to help. In that box right behind your heads are the candles that we decorated last Sunday. So if you pass those out to all the kids, and then kids, go ahead and find somebody over here on my left to give a candle to.
So take a candle from Honor and Brianna and give one to you.
Cheryl, where's Cheryl? Debbie. And somebody can give Leah two, because Lou's not here. Leah, you get two. Leftovers, we're going to put them back in the box because, thank you. We're going to put them back in the box, and I hope I, you know, marked off the people who are here so that I can, you know, track them down and give them these fine, lovely candles decorated by our children and youth. Please join me in the unison words of appreciation shown in your order of service. We, the congregation of First Unitarian Church of Alton, knowing that the religious life requires lifelong learning in the company of caring individuals, bless you for your service in teaching and guiding and supporting our children. We thank you for introducing them to the stories, ideas, and principles of our liberal religious tradition. We thank you for helping them think and compassionate adults. We thank you for sharing with them the joy and wonder that life brings. May your teaching ministry here among us, as it has blessed us, be a blessing to you all the days of your life. And kids, how about just a general thank you? Since you don't have the words here, a thank you would serve just fine. One, two, three.
Thank you.
Thank you all Great. Very much.
Before we stop, if you could all stay, I have, as the RE chair, a little gift for Stephen from the RE committee, and thanks of all your incredibly hard work this year. Stephen has put in more hours than you can imagine. And he's organized so many different activities that the RE committee greatly thanks you.
Thank you very much.
And all your amazing work. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Now we can go.
You guys can go that way. And you guys, we can all go to class.
Thank you. we pause from our busyness to meditate on bigger issues. On this Memorial Day weekend, we honor those who have sacrificed that we might have freedom and better lives. But we also consider the future and think about the possibility that there are no more wars and that conflicts can be resolved in nonviolent ways. We think about the possibility of a more inclusive and tolerant society, and about the way that this church can advance that goal. And now each of us will address our concerns, our own personal concerns, in a moment of silence. Amen. Now let us join in singing hymn 121, "We'll Build a Land." But whenever the word land appears, we're going to sing world instead. I think this gives the song a little bit different meaning. So please, every time you see the word land, put in the word world.
Build the world, my people, we see. Come build a world where sisters and brothers, anointed by God, create peace, where justice shall roll down like water, and peace like the
Our topic today is expressions of universalism. I hope that all of you personally experienced one such expression of universalism just a moment ago when we sang, "We'll Build a World," instead of just, "We'll Build a Land." Universalism means including everyone. It means not limiting our empathy to only those who live in our own country. In fact, that limited nationalistic viewpoint is exactly one of the main enemies of universalism, not only in our country, but in most of the countries of the world. Such a limited nationalistic viewpoint is a major factor in the wars of the past centuries. As a German, I must be ready to go to war against France and Britain and Russia. As an American, I must be ready to go to war against Japan and Germany and Russia and maybe China in the future, and so on. Fortunately, during the last 60 years, we are beginning to see some movement toward a more universalistic viewpoint, with the creation, for example, of the European Union and the African Union. But those efforts are slow and still could fail. Nationalism is still a very strong cultural force in this country and in almost all other countries. Regardless of the success or failure of the integration of some countries into regional federations, many individuals, as individuals, are adopting a more universalist point of view. They are thinking of themselves as citizens of a world community and not just citizens of this or that country, as earthlings and not just Americans or Germans or Chinese or whatever other nationality. This universalism has been advanced by viewing photos of the Earth from space, by more international travel, by people marrying across national borders, including in this church, by the internet, and so on. In fact, I think that an important feature of the 21st century is that humanity is moving from an internationalistic viewpoint, reflected in maps and globes where the 200 countries are pictured in different colors, to a more universal global viewpoint, symbolized by that photo of Earth from space, where there are no national boundaries to be seen. The change is slow, but at this time, less than 12 and a half years of the 21st century have passed. There are still 87 and a half years left in this movement from internationalism to globalism in the 21st century. But even the expression, "We'll build a land," already shows some universalism, doesn't it? Our country, the United States of America, is a federation composed of 50 states, which have considerable differences. Our creation of this very large national federation in the years 1787 to 1789 was itself a giant and significant step toward more universalism. We are all U.S. citizens. Yet we know that New Hampshire is different from Georgia, that Texas is different from California, and that Alaska is different from Hawaii. It does not sound at all strange to hear someone say, "That doesn't convince me, I'm from Missouri." Nevertheless, we all feel the expression of universalism in our land when we sing the Star Spangled Banner, or America the Beautiful, or This Land is My Land. The creation of our national federation, the United States of America, is a beautiful example which shows that we can have universalism without uniformity, and that we can have differences but still have unity. Our national federation, as well as other national federations, provide a model of what we need as an expression of universalism at the global level. We need a world federation over the national governments of the world, just as there is our national federation over the states of the United States and the provinces of Canada and the cantons of Switzerland. The way to deal with this problem of getting unity with diversity is to create a federation, and we need to do it at the global level. We can hope that eventually the establishment of a federal system of government at the world level will put an end to global anarchy and wars, to wasteful military spending, and the building of ever more destructive weapons. As we have already done with regard to the situation within our country, we did have that civil war, but it's behind us now. Just as we have created the necessary political and judicial means for resolving conflict without wars and violence among the states in our country, so we can create the political and judicial means for resolving conflicts without wars and violence among the countries in our world. We already have the model in many different countries. We need to extend it to the global level. We can have an expression of universalism which extends to the whole world, just as in our country we have already implemented an expression of universalism which includes our very diverse states. Another area where we experience an expression of universalism is when others speak or otherwise communicate with us in our language, as in letters or email messages. The fact that English is a common language of most Americans helps sustain the unity within our country. And the lack of a common language in lands such as Canada and Belgium and Romania tends to undermine the unity of those and other countries. So let's think about this at the global level. What is the situation with regard to language in the global community? Because of the influence of the former British Empire and the present influence of the United States, there's no doubt that English is a dominant language in international communication, even though It is the first language of less than 6% of the world's people. That means that 94% of the people in the world must learn English as a second or third or fourth language. And it's not the easiest language to learn. We need to be aware of the deep resentment that this unfair situation causes among non-English speakers, such as Arabs and Italians and Russians and most of the people of Latin America and Asia. Some people ask, why do they hate us so? Part of it is this resentment. Among Europeans, there's a popular joke that goes like this. What do you call a person who uses three languages? Trilingual. What do you call a person who uses two languages? Bilingual. What do you call a person who can use only one language? An American. For trivia buffs, a somewhat related, a different question, but related question is, what are the only three countries in the world that don't use the metric system? Did you know that? There's only three countries in the whole world that don't use it. And what are they? Libya, Myanmar, or Burma, and the United States of America. Even though our Congress has passed several laws making the metric system the legal system in the United States. But we're still behind and out of step with the rest of the world. But the problem of fairness related to universalism in language is raised not just with the use of English. If any national language were to be used as a language for the whole world community, the native speakers of that language will have an unfair advantage over all the others. A sense of justice requires that the language for the global community should not be any national language. Even Mandarin Chinese, with the largest number of native speakers, is the first language of only about 15% of the world's population. So if Chinese were the global language, still 85% of the world's population would need to learn it as a second or third or fourth language. Most Americans do not realize that in the world as a whole, there are more native speakers of both Chinese and Spanish than of English. And that in the near future, Hindi will surpass English, and English will be in fourth place. And if we look at the world as a whole, there are 22 languages in the world spoken by at least 50 million people. 22 languages. So much for multilingualism. Just learn a bunch of different languages. And even then, would you be learning the same other language? Even if you've got two people, each of whom speak four languages, do they still have a common language? So what is the appropriate expression of universalism with regard to a common language for the global community? One which at the same time will encourage rather than end the continued use of national and ethnic languages within the national and ethnic communities. How to have a universal language without destroying the other languages. The obvious universalist solution, which even children can discern, is for everyone in the world to learn a common global language, which is no one's national language, but which is designed to be easy to learn regardless of your native language. Unfortunately, many people are unaware that just such a language has already been designed and is being used. It is called Esperanto. It was developed by a Polish physician named Ludwig Lazarus Zamenhof. He presented it to the world 125 years ago in 1887. It is easy to learn because it is totally phonetic. It has 28 letters in the alphabet, and each letter has one and only one sound. There are only a few rules to follow, and there are never any exceptions to these rules. There are no genders to learn, as in many European languages. Esperanto has an ingenious word-building system which allows one's vocabulary to grow very rapidly. I personally believe that Esperanto is one of humanity's greatest inventions, but which unfortunately is not yet being widely used. Esperanto is essentially a streamlined, modernized Latin. That means that some vocabulary will be familiar to anyone who knows a European language. Consequently, the language is easier for Europeans to learn than for others, in Asia, for example. But even non-Europeans find Esperanto much easier to learn than national languages, such as English, French, Spanish, or German. As many of you know, both Jerry Johnson and I are Esperantists. Because of Esperanto, I have personal friends all over the world. Some have even invited me to stay overnight in their homes, in France and Brazil and China and Romania. Next month, an Esperanto friend from China will be coming to visit me. She will come with me to church on July 1st. She's from Shanghai and helped me several times when I was visiting China. Esperantists can communicate with each other without first learning the more difficult national languages. I've been to China 4 times. I'll be going another time this coming July. I do not know Chinese. So how do I do it? My Esperanto friends meet me at the airport, meet me at the train stations, accompany me. And that's how that will happen when they come and visit us. Besides, we also feel that we are part of an evolving universal community. When I go to China, when I go to France, and I speak with people in Esperanto, it's a lot different than if I speak to them in English, where I have the advantage of using my native language. It's just not the same. I believe that all people, and especially English-speaking people, have an ethical obligation to learn and encourage their children and grandchildren to learn Esperanto as the appropriate language of the new universal community, global community, which is coming into existence. They and you can learn it on your computers at http://lernu, which is the Esperanto word for learn, .net. Starting with 35 different languages, you can learn Esperanto on that website. Or you can just Google on Esperanto and find it. In fact, I think it would be a wonderful idea to teach Esperanto in our UU religious education program so that our English-speaking children are encouraged to think globally and get prepared to participate in the global community rather than being spoiled kids in a world dominated by the use of English. They will then be able to feel that they are part of a global community in a way that those who do not use Esperanto cannot. I know there are people going all over the world using English, and I'm sure it's not the same kind of experience that I have when I go and meet other people and communicate with them in Esperanto. They know I could use English, but I don't. I use Esperanto, and that makes a big difference to them. Religion is a third area where an expression of universalism is desirable. The very name of our religious organization, the Unitarian Universalist Association, UUA, indicates that we have some kind of connection with universalism. Originally, the basic idea of the Christian universalists was that God was too good to condemn anyone to an everlasting hell. Thus, all people would ultimately be saved. That was the belief of the universalists. Universalists gradually came to realize that it was not just one doctrine about some people being eternally damned that they opposed. One should use compassion in one's human interactions and reason in one's thinking about all kinds of religious issues. Universalists tended to be more inclusive and empathetic with the poor and neglected than most religious groups. They were among the first to ordain women and black clergy. Nevertheless, when we address the issue of universalism in religion, we need to realize that there are two very different and opposing ideals, both of which can use this word universal. One meaning of universal is that all people should believe the same doctrines. Some beliefs in this viewpoint are considered to be universal in the sense that they are doctrines that are to be believed by everyone at all times and in all places. This is the meaning of the word Catholic. The word Catholic comes from two Greek words which mean with reference to all or throughout the whole or universal. Thus, the Catholic Church views itself as the infallible universal church which has the one truth for all time and for all persons. Those who do not accept these beliefs are firmly excluded from this kind of so-called universal church. The other kind of universalism in religion, the kind which this church supports, puts the emphasis on inclusiveness. No one is excluded. There is no creed which everyone must say that they believe, whether they do or not. Freedom of belief and tolerance for diversity is central. No one is infallible. And it may even be that there is no one truth that holds for all times and all places. Each of us is free to seek the truth in his or her own way. We can all grow toward a better understanding as we gain new knowledge and have new experiences and become aware of new arguments. We can all grow in compassion and empathy and inclusiveness. This is the true expression of universalism in religion. Everyone is welcome. Like this congregation is a welcoming congregation. Everyone is welcome. Even atheists and agnostics and skeptics and gays and lesbians and so on, no one is excluded. Can we, in this religious community, bring these three expressions of universalism together? Looking at the matter of religious expression first, it seems that any religion that dogmatically insists that it has some truth which everyone else must accept is not really universalistic. Universalism in religion means tolerance and not excluding anyone, and a readiness to continue considering various religious, moral, and philosophical viewpoints. With regard to moving beyond a narrow nationalism to a more global universalistic view, I think that in the last few years, UUs have done rather well. In 1995, we moved beyond a purely British North American outlook to a more internationalist outlook by establishing our International Council of Unitarians and Universalists, ICUU. But we are still far from adopting a really global point of view. We now realize that some of our UU literature and hymnals should be available in Spanish and other national languages, besides Hungarian and English, and I mentioned Hungarian because that's Transylvania, where the Unitarians in Europe are centered. But so far, we are still thinking internationally in terms of national languages and national UU organizations rather than thinking globally. For example, our Global Unitarian Universalist Esperanto Network was not allowed to become a full-fledged member of the ICUU because we were not a national organization. We thus were only allowed to become an associate member. Why? Because the ICUU is still international in its basic structure rather than global. On the matter of universalism with regard to language, I hope that our UU denomination will be able to move beyond just English and other national languages to a global point of view where our members, especially young people in our religious education programs, are encouraged to think globally and to use Esperanto. It would truly make our religion more universalist if everyone at our international UU meetings could communicate with each other in Esperanto rather than just English, which is the present situation. Universalism is a worthy goal. Our religious community has already made a great deal of progress, especially compared to most other religious communities. We continue to move forward, but we're definitely not there yet. Let's now join in singing hymn number 143, just the first verse and the third verse. Please rise and sing hymn number 143, the first and third verses.
See the vision
And now, may we have faith in life to do wise planting, that the generations to come may reap even more abundantly than we. May we be bold in bringing to fruition the golden dreams of human kinship and justice. This we ask, that the fields of promise become fields of reality. Amen. Beliefs and way of life.